when he reached out his hand for me. Hadn't done it in a long time, but it's in me flat. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be, but my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached down His hand for me. I was near to despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me gladness complete when He reached down His hand for me. Now my heart doth rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest to Him I then cleave, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, since He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached down. I better not try it without the words.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, one thing about it, we couldn't reach up far enough, so He had to reach down if we was ever going to make it. Amen. Wasn't no other way. No other way at all. Turn back to Proverbs, if you will. Proverbs chapter 8. Now we know in the beginning, it says in the beginning God. Then it goes on into some details of what God did. And we don't have any problem here believing in creation. And God, He made everything. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And that's what the Bible says. And of course, we're Bible believers, and we know that. And God prepared a lot of things. And there's other things that's prepared in the Bible. And I'm going to try to bring you a message tonight on some prepared things. Dear Heavenly Father, help us tonight, Lord, as we look in Your Word. Touch hearts, Lord. You know the needs tonight, and we'll thank you, Father, for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 8 and verse 27 says, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he prepared the heavens. So God prepared the heavens when he prepared everything else. Now, I wondered about that stuff a lot. I got a strange mind, I guess. But many times when I'm around just by myself and been reading the Bible and all, you know, I just sit and meditate and think on some things. And you get thinking about a lot of that stuff, and you get thinking about the heavens. Now I realize the Bible says about in the beginning, he created the heaven, singular, and the earth. And of course, you know why that it stated that way, because in the beginning, there wasn't sin there, and the heaven wasn't in three parts. He didn't have to divide it until Satan entered and messed some things up. And so God's heaven and the second heaven and the first heaven was all, you know, together at once. You know, just one complete thing. And then, of course, Satan messed the deal up and he had to divide it, you know, and keep Satan out of the third heaven. Even though he could appear in the presence of God. We learned that over in the book of Job 1 and 2. But he made the heavens, and you just think about some of them things. And I think of strange things, I guess, sometimes. Even like in the ark. You ever think about that ark and all them animals and all that was going on there? If he took two of everything, I wonder how long it took them two snails to get in there. He said, that's a dumb thing to think of. Well, I don't know why they had to get in there. Now, he might have come by for 3 or 4 days and seen them, you know, a foot or two ahead and picked them up and carried them. I don't know. But if he didn't, it took quite a while going up that ramp for them two snails to get in there. I ain't got nothing to do with the message. I just happened to think of that. But he created, he prepared the heavens. So he made the heavens. Now he made them, of course, you flip. We're going to turn several places. You can flip back to Psalms 103. He prepared everything for a reason. And of course the heavens is there for a reason. Not just for what the benefit is for them right now. You know, you got to have them now for the birds and the planes and everything to fly around in. But there's other reasons also that the Lord prepared the heavens. One of these days they're going to be populated. I mean, I believe that. I believe he'll populate them one of these days. What man's trying to do today, you know, man can't do nothing that God won't let him do, but he tries to do everything that eventually God's going to do. In Psalms 103, verse 19 says, and the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. So the Lord prepared his throne in the heavens. He's got a throne up there. Amen. Now right now he's sitting on the throne of the Father. And of course you know how his throne is going to be up on the earth one of these days for so long a period. But he's got a throne there now, and that throne is beneficial to us. Amen. I mean, it's a real blessing to us, and we're going to Hebrews now, chapter 10. Real blessing to us that he's there sitting in the right hand of the Father on the throne. Because, I mean, you know, I have a lot of prayers that I really need some answers for. Amen. Hebrews 10. And if he wasn't there, wouldn't be no need to praying. Amen. So he's there waiting for us to petition him and talk to him and thank God when we do. Why, he'll help us. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 10, it's dealing here with forgiveness, and it's dealing with, you know, he applies this a little bit to the to the bloodshed of the bulls and the goats, you know, and all this. And verse number 4 says, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin." And then in verse 5, Hebrews 10 says, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." So, not just that he prepared the heavens and prepared a throne in the heavens. Before he went and sat down on the throne, he had to have a body. Now, I realize, you know, God is God, and we don't understand what type of body or anything that God's got. I realize that, but Jesus had to take upon himself the form of a man. He had to take a body. And so his body was prepared for him. Amen. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. Amen. When it came time, God done that. Thank God for that. I'm glad he done that. If he hadn't, we'd still be in trouble. Amen. That was necessary. That was real necessary that he done that. Amen. Now back over in Luke, like I say, we're going to turn several places in the Bible. Back over in Luke chapter 1, we're talking about some prepared things. Some prepared things. There's a lot of prepared things in the Bible. God done these things for a reason, of course, for everything. He has a reason for everything he done. Amen. And over in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 17. "He shall go before them in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." So now that he has prepared himself a body, then he needs a bride. Amen. So he's preparing a people for himself. Amen. I got in on that. Man, he prepared a people for himself. Thank God for that. I'm glad that one of these days we're going to get to be with him, just because he went forth and sent the Holy Spirit forth and sent the conviction power of the Holy Spirit forth, that he could prepare a people for himself. Thank God for that. Now, I realize, and turn back to Matthew 25, I realize here in back in Matthew 25, that we're dealing here with a judgment of the nations in dealing with Matthew 25 here. But I want to notice a couple of things that it says in this that's prepared in this. Not getting into the doctrinal issue so much of what this is dealing with in Matthew 25. It's dealing with the judgment that's going to take place of the nations. But he's dealing with the sheep and the goats, and that's not us anyway that he's dealing with here. But in Matthew 25, you get on down here at about verse 34, and this is where he's dealing with the judgment that he's going to do to these nations. "Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So there's a kingdom that's prepared for a people. And then verse 41, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So he prepared hell for the devil and his angels. Now, if anybody goes to hell, and I'm sorry to say there's a whole bunch going, they're intruders. He prepared, over here in verse 34, a kingdom. He prepared this kingdom for saved folks. But he prepared hell for the devil. He didn't prepare hell for lost folks. But they're going anyway. That's sad. But hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I don't know exactly when it was prepared. I don't know when all these things were prepared. And back over here it says, and verse 34, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So, according to that, then, the kingdom was prepared when He prepared everything else. Amen. Before the foundation of the world. So He had this thing. Now, I know He had it all planned to start with anyway. And had it all figured out what He's going to do. God didn't just all at once come up with something and say, boy, I'm glad I thought of that. No, He's not like us, you see. He already knew it. You know, but He still prepared these things. And He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. You're not welcome there. Amen? It's not made for you. It's not made for all your friends that's going. They're not welcome there. The ones that's there don't even want them there. Amen. We find that out over in Luke 16. That rich man's there. I mean, he wants Lazarus to go back and witness to his brothers so they won't come there. He don't want his brothers down there. Amen. If you know anybody in hell, and I don't know where you would know it or not, all of us probably know somebody there. We're just not sure about it. But they don't want you there. Now, if you're saved, of course, you're not going to be going there. They don't want you there. So what the Lord does then, if you flip back there just a little bit to the book of Jonah, what the Lord does then is He does everything that He possibly can to keep you out. He don't want you going to hell. It's not His will that any perish but all come to repentance. He don't want anybody going to hell. Amen. That's the kind of God we've got. So what He does everything He can to try to get people right with Him. So over here in the book of Jonah, we'll go through this thing just a little bit. And there's a group of people down here that's lost and on their way to hell. A whole city. I mean, they're going to hell. And the Lord don't want them to go. Man. So He calls this preacher, Jonah, to go down there and preach to them so they get right. So God is not having problems here with the town. He's having problems with the preacher. Amen. But He calls the preacher to go down there and preach to them. Now, of course, the preacher, he don't like them. Amen. He's a separatist. You know? I mean, after all, he says, God, you're one. And, of course, God is one. So he's going to be one. He says, I don't want to preach to that bunch. Let them go to hell for as I'm concerned. Now, he don't come out and say that, but he might as well. Amen. So you know how the story goes. He goes down and catches his boat and go another direction. And God then has to get his attention. And that's the way the Lord does, folks. He has to get their attention. So what He wants is He wants that city down there to get right. And the only way they can get right, now God can just save them anyway, just bang, you're all saved, but He don't do things that way. He uses people to do His job. And if He's got somebody out there that He's working on, and He's working on you then, to go see them. See, He gets this thing all worked out. And it's not an accident that you run on somebody and get a chance to witness to them. Amen. It's no accident. God has it planned. Amen. Now, the person may not get saved, but God still has it planned for you to see them at the right time and all this kind of stuff. I mean, He's got this thing figured out, you see. And we don't know that. I understand that. You know, and we don't understand it. And it works in all kind of different ways. And I've had a whole lot of them, and I enjoyed them all. Amen. And many times He works through somebody else to get you to do whatever it's you're supposed to be doing. And that's what He's doing here with Jonah. And I've told this story before, but there's a lady called me one time. I was in Indiana. She says, I want you to go down and see my grandpa. Said he's in the hospital and he's sick. He's dying. He's real old, 90-something. Said he's real old. Said he's dying and said he ain't saved. Said, I want you to go down and see him if you will. And I said, all right. She told me his name. I went down there. And I walk in. I walk in, I got him propped up in the bed there, and he looked at me, you know, and I start talking to him. This general conversation, you know, how you got to do it first. So I start talking to him. We'll call him Mr. Johnson. I forgot his name. And so I'm talking to him, and I start talking to him, getting him over, talking about the Lord and all that, and he's not saved, and he admits he's not saved. And about that time, a nurse comes in, and she says, "Oh, Mr. Johnson." And she starts asking him, "Are you hungry?" and all this. Says, "Yeah, yeah. Be back in a minute." So she takes off. So I start talking to him again. Just in a few minutes, she comes back in with something to eat. And she has to feed him. Well, he's sitting there, you know, just propped up in the bed. And so she's to feed him, and it's a real slow job. I propped up against the wall over, you know, and I'm standing there for 10, 15, 20 minutes, you know. Finally, I said, "Lord, you want me to come back or you want me to hang around here?" And he said, "You just stay." He said, "Does the Lord talk to you like that?" "Yeah, if you're serious and you ask him something, he will." Amen. He said, "You just stay. You just wait." "Okay, I'll wait." So I waited. I had to watch. She gets done and she leaves. I go over and I talk to him again, you know, about the Lord. And he's willing to pray, so we pray. After we pray, then, you know, I ask him, you know, I said, "Now, do you pray and ask God to save you?" "Well, no." I said, "Well, now look, you've got to do the praying yourself and ask God to save you." And so he, "Yeah, okay, I'll do that." So we pray again, you know, he said, "You pray?" "Yeah." I said, I prayed. He said, "Well, you think God saved you?" "Well, I just ain't sure. I just don't really know." I go through this thing about 3 or 4 times with him. Finally, then he says, "Yeah." I said, "I think I got it straight." I said, "I believe the Lord saved me now. I believe I'm okay." I said, "Great." And so I left. But the story's not got interested yet. The next day, I'm back down there visiting somebody, and I thought, "I'll go ahead and see him. He, you know, I like to follow up on him if I can. Because when you see him the next time, you can kind of tell if something happened that other time." And so I walk in and the bed's empty. I figure, well, they sent him to the nursing home or he died or something. I turn around and start back out and I met this nurse, the same one that fed him in there all that time. And I said, "Mr. Johnson there," I said, "did they move him or did he pass on or what?" She said, "No," said, "they moved him down here to the nursing home." Said, "They've been aiming to do that for the last 2 or 3 days anyway." I said, "Oh, well, I just wondered." She said, "That sure was strange yesterday, wasn't it?" And I said, "What's that?" She said, "You know, when I come in there and he's sitting there talking to you." I said, "Yeah." She said, "That sure was strange." I said, "It was?" See, I didn't know what she was talking about. She said, "Yeah." I said, "He'd been in a coma for 3 days." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah." And she said, "I come back in there a little while after you left." Said he went right back in that coma. Never did come out of it again. She said, "That sure is strange, isn't it?" I said, "It's stranger than you know." Amen. All God done is just open up his mind for just a little while for the old boy to get saved. Amen. You see, the Lord wants to save him. Amen. And so what he done here to Jonah, and as the story goes on, you know, Jonah, he finally, you know how it is, the storm comes up and finally then, they have to toss the old boy overboard. And in the last verse of chapter 1, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. So they throw Jonah in. God had this fish prepared. And we find out it's a whale over in the New Testament. But this fish swallows him up. And he's in the belly of that thing for 3 days and 3 nights. Now, don't you know that was a blessing? I mean, floating around down there with all them digestive juices and all that stuff going on, you know. I mean, just think about it a minute. Here you are for 3 days and 3 nights, and you can imagine now, there's something in there working on you. I mean, when they swallow that stuff, it don't just lay there. It ain't no chicken crawl, but it's the digestive juice. It's working on you, you know. Speaking of a chicken crawl, it just reminded me of a story. I tell all these stories, but sometimes Mom, one time over at the house, she said, "Go out and kill me a chicken, son. I'm going to fix a chicken for supper." I said, "Okay." So I had to get my rifle. And I went out there, you know, and I was running around out there in the yard, so I popped one of them in the head and tucked that thing in there, and I had to clean it. So I'm cleaning that chicken, you know, and I clean it, you know, I seen, you know, on his crawl, I seen something move. And I thought, what's that? So I cut in there, you know. It was a June bug. And that June bug flopped out there, you know, on the table and wobbling around there. And I thought, man, he must just eat that thing not long ago. Swallowed that June bug. And so I watched him for a while. And after a while, he got to where he could walk around a little bit, you know. And I'm in the basement where I'm cleaning the chicken at. Had them big doors open. I thought, y'all just let him go. So I took an old June bug out there and let him go. Now, don't you know when he got home, you know, I bet he said, "Boy, you don't, hey, guess what happened to me? I got swallowed by a chicken." You know. Now you say, "Well, they can't talk." Well, who knows? He may have told all his buddies about that. Swallowed by a chicken, and this guy let me out. He's my savior. But anyway, Jonah is down there in the belly of a whale, and he's having a real time of it. But finally, God speaks to the whale. Amen. And you see, God can speak any language. I mean, he speaks to whales, and he speaks to fish, you know, he speaks to roosters. He speaks to everything and tells them what to do. And you know what? Every one of them obeys him. That is, except the two-legged ones. I mean, a bunch of them has problems obeying the Lord. But all them others, all them animals, whatever he says to do, they just go right on and do it. Amen? But over here in chapter 4, this is after Jonah finally obeyed God and went down there and preached. And he done what God told him to do. Against his own will. Because he didn't want to do it. But you see, God has a way of getting your attention. And so he got his attention. And when Jonah hit that sand over there, I mean, when that whale burped him out on that sand, he hit the sand a running, brother. I mean, he turned it on towards town. He said, "Man, I'm going to get down there and preach this message to them people before something else happens. They may be a lion or tiger or bear or something around here." Amen. And he got down there and preached, and when he preached, the whole town got right. I mean, you talk about a meeting, brother. I mean, even the cattle got right. Amen. Everybody in the town got right. But the preacher. Preacher's the only one who never did get right. Everybody else did. But down here in verse 6, it says, "And the Lord had prepared a gourd." He was griping and complaining is what it was. In other words, he said, "I'm so mad I could die." And then the Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. Well, all comfort does come from God, even if it's temporary. And it was temporary. And he's sitting under that gourd under that shade, and he says, "Well, praise God, things are not looking too bad right now." And then verse number 7 comes up. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And so now then, the gourd fell over, and here Jonah is in the sun again, beating on his head. And verse number 8, it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a venomous east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. said, it's better for me to die than to live. But you see, God's trying to get folks saved. And it worked. He got all them folks saved, except Jonah. He is already saved, but he wasn't right. Amen. He was saved. Amen. He was trying to do what he thought God wanted him to do, but then after he'd done it, I'm going to be turning to 2 Chronicles. After he'd done it, he wasn't glad he'd done it. And he wasn't even happy that the folks got saved. But they did get saved, and I'm sure God was happy. Amen. But there are some people that just will not listen. They will not obey God. And over in 2 Chronicles chapter 12, and verse 14 is speaking to Rehoboam, and he's a feller that's not ready. Verse 14 says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And that's the reason folks does evil, because their heart is not prepared to seek the Lord. They're not right with God. So they do evil. Amen. If you study him out, back over in chapter 10, he began wrong. And he wasn't separated. He didn't love the Lord. He wasn't trying to do right. But anyway, he prepared not his heart. But some does listen. If you flip on over here to the 19th chapter of 2 Chronicles, Jehoshaphat here, Jehu is dealing with. And anyway, he gets on to Jehoshaphat, because he done some things wrong, or in verse number 2. He said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? You know, sort of like our country does to all them people over there that hates us. You know, we help all them ungodly reprobates that hates the United States and would like to blow us to kingdom come, you know. And then we send a whole bunch of money over to them, you know. Our government, Brother Roloff years ago had it right. He said, this government is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And that's a good statement. If he could see it now, nevertheless, there in verse 3, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. So the guy wasn't doing everything right, but at least he prepared himself to seek God. Amen. I mean, thank God at least for that. If you flip on over to chapter 20, get on down here to a bunch of people that didn't prepare theirself in verse 33, 20 and verse 33. Howbeit the high places were not taken away, for as yet the people had not prepared their hearts unto the God of their fathers. They wouldn't prepare their hearts to get right with God. So people, many times they just won't listen. You flip on over to chapter 27. Chapter 27 there. Down here about verse 6. So Jotham became mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. You can be turning to 1 Corinthians. So we look there at some people that did prepare their self, and some that didn't prepare their selves. You need to prepare your heart and prepare your ways before God. Let him lead. Let him direct. Amen. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 9, The Lord has something prepared for us if we're prepared to receive it. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Brother, there's some things that's prepared. You can return over to Revelation chapter 21. There's some things that's prepared for us that we just couldn't imagine. I mean, our mind right now and our eyes, if we could see it right now, we couldn't stand it. Amen. But John there, like these girls was saying a while ago, wonder how John felt when he wrote down this about this new Jerusalem coming out of heaven. Did you catch that in that song? In Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Praise God. There's some prepared things. God prepared, there's a whole lot more in here about it, but God prepared some things in the beginning, and He has prepared things all the way down. And He's preparing a bride right now. Amen? And He's got some things prepared for us when we get there. Amen? And He has a lot prepared for us here that we can really enjoy it now. Amen? So why not enjoy the Lord? Amen? I mean, enjoy every day that God gives you. Every day when you get up, that's a new day that God's prepared for you. Amen? Enjoy it. Amen, amen. Because one of these days, when we get to glory, my, it's going to be great then. It's going to be tremendous. Praise the Lord for that. Some prepared things. Make sure your heart is prepared to meet the Lord. Amen. All right, let's stand if you will.